Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Sayer Akimbulumo, an educated jazz musician and author of a hip-hop manifestos, is going to be back with us this morning to expand on the discussion of the youth activities and the prevention of school-to-prison pipeline. Sia has been sharing his talents in many ways with the youth and adults across the country. He has been bringing awareness to the public of the urgent need for gun control. In addition, as a jazz musician and author of hip-hop manifestos, he has inspired the youth to make positive changes. Sia has a wealth of information through his research and education, which helps us all to understand why many incarcerated first-time offenders serving life and life without parole sentences and who committed their only offense while under the age of 25 years should be viewed in a different light. There is so much going on around the country in this day and age of mass incarcerations. People have gotten to become very vengeful rather than forgiving. And granted, there are so many people that have lost loved ones around the world. But in America, we have an epidemic of mental illnesses, of addictions, and of mass incarcerations. We need to look at each and every situation differently, because what we're finding out today in this day and age is that there are stereotypical views of prisoners around the country. There are stereotypical views of many people, but pain affects people, whether behind the walls or in the so-called free world. Pain is what brought many to become incarcerated. Inconsistency around the country has caused many to be in prison, because we have always known that a home that is consistent in everything that they do brings more stability than the country and homes that are inconsistent. Every state in the United States operates differently, but the problems in every state are still the same. We need to look at these issues that are affecting the United States, that are affecting these young people, the youth across the country. We have to look at these things that are happening in this country, because we see it happening all over the world. Our political leaders, who are supposed to have enough sense to keep stability in the country and around the world, to bring people together, to help those who are less fortunate, to stabilize the confused, the misguided, the misled. It's these very leaders that are causing the problems, whether it be in the penal system, in law enforcement, in the communities, in political offices, in the schools, in the churches, in the homes of others, in the hospitals and nursing homes, the prisons. There's so much going on in this world. We need to come together. We really need to come together, because if we can't get stability from our governmental leaders, if we can't get justice, fairness from our political leaders, then we have to do it on our own. There are many people in prison who are being denied the opportunity to take correspondence courses, educational or higher educational courses. There are many in the prisons who are being denied medical, psychological, and even spiritual programs. There are many that are being targeted, many that are being abused, and many that are just not having the programs and the rehabilitation that the Department of Corrections was initially founded upon. Instead, many are coming out worse than they went in. My views on this is that we, instead of prisons, that we establish long-term residential treatment programs, whether it be long-term residential mental health treatment programs, long-term mental health, or whether it be long-term residential substance abuse programs or schools or facilities, or whether it just be anger management, long-term anger management treatment facilities. Whatever the case may be, anything is better than prisons, because what you have in prisons is a lack of appropriate rehabilitation. What you have in prisons is a lot of criminals overseeing these prisoners. What you see in the prisons happening is a lot of good prison employees who are too afraid to speak up about their peers who are abusing, who are providing drugs in the prisons, who are causing chaos in the prisons, and who are filling the media's heads with false news, which the media, in turn, rather than go into the prisons and meet with these prisoners and learn more about what's going on in the prisons, will take what they hear, one-sided stories, and they will go with it. And they will cause panic in the communities, which does not need to take place. Granted, there are many, many prisoners who have done atrocious, terrible, terrible crimes. But there are also prisoners who may have fired one shot at a time in their lives when they were unstable, when they were seriously depressed, or when they weren't together with their minds because of some serious addictions. And then there are some that have mutilated and done horrific crimes. So prisoners should not be stereotyped. Prisoners should be talked to. Try to understand each and every situation rather than stereotyping and judging. Because if we were all judged by God, none of us would be out of those prison bars. None of us would be walking the streets. We would all be judged because we were all sinners and are all sinners. I say give these first-time offenders a second chance. Be out there for the youth. Go looking for them in the streets. Talk to them. Try to let them have a voice. We have youth in the communities today that are in school. There are times when adults want them to be adults, when it suits the adults. And there are times when the adults want these kids to be kids because they can't control them, or they want them to do things their way. It can't be both ways. These kids in the schools are confused right now, especially those youth that are almost ready to graduate from high school, not knowing whether they're going on to college, going in the military, not knowing what their fate brings. These kids are confused, and many do go on to college. And I consider them still youth, because as long as kids are in school and they are struggling, just like we are as adults in this day and age, we have to understand there's a lot of stress on them. There's a lot of things going on in their lives. We have to understand these kids. We have to be role models for them. And we can all see where the role models are not in this day and age. We can all see where everything has fallen apart. The language is used, even by our political leaders. The corruption, the injustice, the lies, the deception. What used to be not tolerable in this day and age is tolerable. But people consider prisoners or offenders not to be tolerated. Of course they're not going to be tolerated. The very political leaders that make up all these policies and laws against those offenders who are not going to be tolerated, those political leaders, many of them, are not to be tolerated because they too are criminals. The only difference is they have a title. They have the money. They have the power. So I ask everyone to please consider looking at these people, whether they be the youth, children, whether they be adolescents, whether they be young men and women, whether they be middle-aged or elderly, look at them all differently. Look at the situations. And another thing I want to say is that in court, when these trials are taking place, there are prosecutors who will lie through it all, knowing that they are lying against somebody whose fate is in their hands. There are some that will take an innocent person who has fallen because of another person, and they will make that innocent person look like he or she was the worst being in the world, when in fact, that person that is on that trial, on that stand, was deceived and lied to, was violated. Many prisoners were victims before becoming offenders. Many were. And we have to look at these people in a way that they deserve to be understood. They deserve to be understood because they have been lied about and deceived. Again, there is no one in this world that was born bad. And yet, people all of a sudden, when someone falls, they don't look at who may have made them fall. They don't look at who may have destroyed them. All they look at is, this person is no good. This person is a criminal. This person needs to go to prison for the rest of their lives and never come out again. I say we are all sinners. I say we should consider the reasons, the reasoning behind people who have made their mistakes, who have fallen. I say give them another chance. Give them another chance. They deserve a second chance. They deserve a second chance. And these kids are crying out for help. And maybe you don't hear it because they're crying out in their hearts. What we need to do is we need to listen to them with our observation of their body language, of their actions, of their reasoning, of the way they dance, the way they talk, the way they act out. So all I ask is that everyone, please, consider these things. Consider these things. Let's just help these kids. We need to. We really need to look at these issues. We really need to, because it may be your child, it may be ours, it may be someone else's who can be affected, not only by the way our children act, but the way your children act. There are many in prison who are victims before becoming offenders. And there are victims who were offenders, causing an innocent person to be in prison. My heart goes out to a lot of families, to all families who have lost loved ones, whether it be through incarceration or whether it be through death. Think about it. What really happened to cause that person to fall? What really happened to cause that person to die? What really happened to cause that person to become incarcerated for life, or life without, or even put on death row? We know there are many poor associations that can be the cause of many to fall. But what brought about those poor associations? In many instances, they are young people coming together, all with similar situations. Either no fathers in the pictures, or parents on drugs themselves, abusive family situations, domestic violence, racial issues, self-defense. I mean, these are some of the things that we need to look at. We really need to look at them, because we never know what's going on in the home. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. And there's always two or three sides to a story. The media reports one side. the side they hear from those who do the investigation. But the media also knows that many that have done investigations have been found to be guilty of false claims, guilty of tampering with evidence, guilty of lying, guilty of corruption. And unfortunately, there's many police officers, I hate to say it, but that are being killed. We hear about it all the time. And I feel bad about that. And the reason I feel bad is because many, many people in society today have grown to hate law enforcement, not looking at the good ones, but focusing on the bad ones. And unfortunately, the good ones are being targeted when they should not be. But no one really knows who the bad ones are because the good ones don't speak up. These are situations that are sad. Parents that have lost their children to terrible violences, it will be hard for them to forgive. And people that have loved ones serving life without parole or on death row, who have been victims as children, who have hurt because of what they went through. These are so sad because everyone looks at their own situation and fails to look at the others. Because we in society, we are all, everyone that has been afflicted, persecuted by those who could very well lead, direct, correct, teach truth. We've all been deceived by so many. And those are the ones that everyone looks up to because they have titles, or they're in uniform, or they're leading the country. There's lawyers out there. I mean, I got used by a lawyer, Zelkine in Boston, a corrupt lawyer, $4,500 for visiting a prison for 1 hour and claiming to have visited for 5 hours. It was a joke. But there are many lawyers like that. It was really a joke because you turned for help to people you think you can trust. And instead what you get is lies, deception, corruption, and people that are so insecure that they will turn on the innocent just to please their corrupt peers. There are families that leave their loved ones when their loved ones need them most because of their pride. We all seem to have a pride that will cause us to leave the very people that are in need of our love, the very people that are in need of our support, people that we know to be very, very good, people that we know to be innocent until they have fallen because of someone else or even someone else's child. Anyone that has that kind of pride that they can turn against their own family member or members when they are most in need, knowing that that person was decent before falling, something is definitely wrong. And there's a lot of people in prison who are serving these long, harsh, abusive sentencings because they never had that support from the beginning. They couldn't talk to anyone because no one was there. And sometimes these kids from elite homes, from wealthy homes, while their parents are out there socializing and having a good time with their wealthy peers, leaving their kids at home alone or letting them do as they please because they want to have their fun, so let the kids do whatever they want. They're out of our hair. We love them, but we want our fun. We want our friends. Those kids, believe it or not, are hurting as well. Those kids from these wealthy homes are kids that want to be normal. They want their parents there. They want to be talking to them. They want to tell them what happened in school. They want to tell them what they plan to do after high school. Then you have these wealthy parents that don't talk to their kids but yet want their kids to look so good in the limelight. So they're paying all this extra money, all these hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their kids in college while other kids struggling to get into college who are seriously trying to do something with their lives can't afford to go to college, so they're steady working on weekends and school vacations, wherever they can find a way to put themselves through college or to help their parent to put them through college. And these are the ones that people look down upon. These wealthy parents cannot have that much faith in their kids when they feel they have to pay their kids way into college. And maybe if they sat down at a dinner table together with their kids instead of going out and socializing with their wealthy peers, maybe they can find out what their kids really want instead of what they want for their children. Maybe their children don't want to go to college. Maybe they want to go into the music business. As our guest, who apparently won't be showing up today, but is doing with his musical instruments, with his education that he has acquired. Wealthy parents need to bring themselves down a bit, as Jesus the King, when he came into this world, brought himself down to bring people closer to God. Because there are so many poor people out there that are doing volunteer work and that are serving in the communities and that are doing the best they can. They could be in the place of a lot of these elite. They could be in the place of governmental leadership, more so and more better than those who are already in. But they don't choose to go that route. They choose to help others while they are down at the bottom, because that's where we need to start. We need to start helping those that are at the bottom and not satisfying our own needs and those peers at the top. And that's what the problem is. And I hope there are some government leaders listening, because they need to know. They might have a title. That's all it is a title, because they don't have the compassion that they need. And it's all whenever there's elections coming up. It's all about the American people. But once elected, when the American people, constituents, go to them, who are they helping? Certainly not those at the bottom. Because it's all who you know, what you know. So if they have friends that have friends that have friends, or they have friends that have family members that they're trying to get a good deal with, those are the ones they're going to help. There's one that's running for the presidency right from Boston. Someone called her one time, called her office. And the person called the woman back and said, oh, she can't help because it involves the prison. And that's involving law enforcement. They can't help. So how are you going to become a president of the United States and help the people in the communities, the people that vote for you, if you're already deciding which side you're going to be on all the time? There are many people, because of their color and their pigmentation, who have been shot down, cold-blooded. And look at who has gotten away with it all. So I ask you to please think about these things. Think about it and put yourself as Jesus did in someone else's shoe, someone who is suffering because of someone else bringing them down. Families who are suffering because their loved ones have either been executed because they were wrongfully convicted, or executed because someone decided to take their lives. And I must remind everyone, in the Old Testament, when it talked about an eye for an eye, that was to be forgotten. When Jesus came into this world and sacrificed his own life, he came in as a king. He came onto this earth as a poor person with no clothing except what he wore, no place to lay his head, going to look for those who were looked down upon by the leadership at that time. And when he sat at that Last Supper with his disciples, he gave them a new covenant, and that new covenant was to believe and worship one God and to love one another as you want to be loved. Because if people follow those two commandments, they are not going to kill themselves. They are not going to lie to themselves. They are not going to deceive themselves. They're not going to betray themselves. They're not going to take from themselves. They're going to respect themselves. They're going to love themselves. They're going to want the best for themselves. So for those of you who have given up on the faith because you've seen so much injustice, don't give up on the faith. Don't give up on God. Give up on those who have persecuted us while walking this earth. The leadership that God put in charge to be fair. Because for those of you that read the Bible, you know Samuel the judge was fair. Solomon never was partial. Solomon was fair. The media takes one side only. We cannot serve two masters. We can only serve one or the other. The master I serve is of love, compassion, understanding, forgiveness, mercy, fairness, justice. The God that many serve today with that evil thought, wanting vengeance, wanting the worst for someone that has fallen, wanting the worst for someone they don't even know who has not fallen, but because of the pigmentation, because of their disability, because of their gender, they want to destroy them. And that is the one serving, or those serving, the evil one, the one that hates, the one that despises, the one that gives negatives, the one that tries to bring down, the one that is full of injustice, the one that will kill the soul. Because when our soul, when our spirit is killed, it destroys us. When our loved one's spirit is destroyed, we lose our loved ones, whether physically, psychologically, or spiritually. I know that many of you have children. Many of you have siblings that you love, maybe lost. And those of you that lost your loved ones because of hatred, whether it's hatred in your family or hatred in someone else's. It's caused a lot of pain, sorrow, and suffering, and I'm sorry to hear that these things have happened and are still happening. But now they're talking about prison reform. They're talking about prison reform because Massachusetts and every other state in the United States is full of vengeance and hatred. We are the only country in the world that has this mass incarceration. The only country. People have gone over to other countries, to their prisons, to see how they're operated. And they're operated successfully. And the maximum that they give for crime is 25 years. Because we know a lot of these people that went in at a young age, under the age of 25, 26, whatever it might be, we know that these people, 25 years later, have changed. They have paid their debt to society. Why make them punished anymore? Help them. Help them. Don't punish them anymore. And there's so many going into the prisons now. It'll always probably be mass incarceration. But those who have served 25 years, give them a chance. Make room for the next batch that they want to punish. I'm going to sign off now. I got a message from Saya, and apparently he was not able to come in because there was a busy signal, which I can understand. I cannot understand why. But people, please, please, please consider what I have said today and give second chances to those who have served 25 years or more. Give second chances to those who are remorseful of what they have done. Give those who were wrongfully convicted a second chance. Give those who were victims before becoming offenders a second chance. Hear their prayers, read their hearts. Try to be a Christian yourself. While we pray for those who have lost loved ones, which I do every day, we do pray for them. We have to also pray for those who have lost loved ones through mass incarceration, through vengeance, and have suffered at the hands of people that don't even know them, people that have tried to destroy them even further or trying to serve their time because of who they know, trying to please their peers. And one last thing, everyone, please pick a day, maybe on a Sunday, at 7 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, to stop saying a prayer for peace around the world. Start saying a prayer for unity around the world. And start saying a prayer for those prisoners who have paid their debt to society and who have deserved a second chance. I'm signing off now. Thank you, everyone, and have a blessed day.